Shake hands. All right. Good morning to everybody. I'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas this year. My dad already got his Christmas gift for the season, a brand new haircut. I saw that Santa brought him. Had to say something, you know. What's this thing? Had to say something. I was always taught when I was on the radio, I see Jeff back there, I got good advice when I was working at the radio station not to draw attention to mistakes. And then I started pastoring with my dad, and he likes to draw attention to every mistake that happens, you know. So that's why I went with him instead of what Jeff taught me. But Merry Christmas to everybody. We are glad to be here. Man, I'm not used to having this great big mic. I think you got an extra big windscreen now. Have you been emphasizing your pfft lately or something like that? I can barely see anybody. Okay, there you are. All right. But I'm just kidding. I'm not used to it. We have one of those little, you know, wimp mics at my church. So they got the big fundamentalist one on steroids here. But yeah, even the microphone flexes, you know what I'm saying? So that wasn't in my notes. But anyway, it is good to be here. We haven't had our family together since a year ago at this time. I guess that's how life develops on you over time. So it is a blessing and a very special blessing to be together with you this morning. So let's get right to the preaching. Romans chapter 5. We already mentioned the haircut, so we're free to go right to the scripture. Romans chapter 5 this morning. You knew I was going to say something. I mean, come on. It's a Christmas miracle, right? All right, Romans chapter 5. In a place where very few things change, a hairstyle has changed. So I just want to point that out. Romans chapter 5, we'll start reading in verse number 1. All right. I think I said everything my mom told me to say there, so okay. Let's talk about being justified. You know, we have so much to celebrate as a true believer this time of year for what we have in Christ Jesus, and we understand the truth that's surrounded by all the extra stuff that's added to this time of year. So what I'd like to do is unwrap part of the present that God gives us, and that's in Christ Jesus, His finished work, His death, His burial, His resurrection. What we get saved in a moment. Just like Jesus is going to come back and we're going to be caught up together in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we get saved in an instant. We receive the Holy Spirit at the moment of faith. And it's not about praying through or doing some religious act of some sort. The moment you agree with what God's Word says, God does a supernatural transaction on the inside, and the Spirit comes to live inside of you. And that is the most awesome, of course, present, Christmas present that we could ever preach about. But it takes a lifetime down here on earth, and I would say the next life, to start to fully understand all that we get in Christ Jesus. So one of the things I'd like to emphasize for you this morning for a Christmas message is justification, how we're justified in the Lord Jesus Christ through His work. So I'm going to look at that, Romans chapter 5, verse number 1 this morning. I guess I'll go ahead and tell you a Christmas joke because that would make it, Christmas as well to do something like that. So this is the best I can come up with. That's my disclaimer. Here it is. Husband and wife are out Christmas shopping. And it's a busy shopping mall. It's just before Christmas. And the wife suddenly noticed that her husband was missing. Probably fearing that he was kidnapped or something. She knew they still had a lot to do and a lot of stores to go to. So she immediately called on his cell phone. And he answered and she says, "Where are you?" He says, "Honey, do you remember that jeweler's store that we went to about 10 years ago? And you fell in love with that diamond necklace. And I couldn't afford it at the time, but I told you one day that I'd get it for you." And little tears started to flow down her cheek, and she kind of got choked up with emotion. She says, yes, I do remember that shop. He says, "Well, you want to know where I'm at? I'm at the gun shop next door to it." Okay? Doesn't that touch you right here? I mean, it's just heartfelt Christmas emotion. Romans chapter 5, let's go to this morning. Let's look at verse number 1. In chapter 5, we'll try to limit our time here with the time that we have and read just one verse in chapter 5. The Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning and unwrap this wonderful present of being justified in Jesus. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we can be together during this time of year, Lord. Thank you for family. Thank you for church family today. Thank you most of all that we're in your family because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we look to the greatest gift ever given. May we emphasize, may we point out, may we preach and lift up the name of Jesus today of high above all others as the only way and the only truth and the only opportunity for eternal life. Father, we thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. So, Father, for the next few moments as we unwrap this Christmas present, look at how we're justified by the finished work of Christ. I pray that you'd help us quiet our minds and open our hearts and help us to receive your truth this morning. Help us not to be inundated or influenced by all the misinformation out there this time of year, but help us to see the truth from your precious word. We thank you for this time together. May your blessing be added to our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Therefore, being justified by faith. I've often said it. I know my dad's probably said it before me. It's probably where I got it from. But if you see the word therefore in the scripture, you ought to pay attention and see what came right before it. And so in verse number 24 of the previous chapter, chapter 4, if you look about almost halfway in the verse, right after the word imputed in that comma there, it says, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. He says, therefore, being justified by faith in verse 1 of chapter 5, the way you're justified by faith is you believe on the one that God hath raised up from the dead. In verse 24, what a blessing that is. Verse 25 says that Jesus, he was the who was delivered for our offenses. I've sinned, you've sinned, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but God raised up Jesus Christ for our justification. That means that we are accepted. That means we are declared just. Let's be honest. Let's just tell the truth at Christmas time. I'm not a just man. You're not a just person as well. We've all sinned. We've all committed unrighteousness and wickedness before God in heaven. And we've done that. And so we are not justified. We are not right. We are not holy. But the Holy One, the just one, came down and declared the unjust one just. That's what Christmas is about. What a blessing that is to be justified. How do you get justified? By religious works? Of course not. Therefore, justified by faith, believing on the one that God hath raised up from the dead. The Bible tells us that's how we get saved. That's how we receive our holiness, our forgiveness, our justification. Justification means this, that upon the basis of the justice of God, man can be justified. Now, in the world, people can remove guilt and remove blame and cross things over and white things out, but the person's still guilty. You understand that? All right? They can try to do all the cover-ups they want, but before God, he's the just, holy one. And in the courts of heaven, in the courts of the universe, he can declare someone just on the basis of Jesus Christ. If you're saved today, don't doubt that you're just before God, because we can't doubt that Jesus Christ is just. Amen? He came forth from the dead. If he would ascend at all, death could have held on to him. You understand that? Right? If he would have offended in one point of the law, if he would have got one of the 613 points of the Old Testament law wrong, if he'd have offended, if he'd have trespassed, if he'd have went somewhere he wasn't supposed to, if he wouldn't have done something he was supposed to, then death could have had a claim on him. But on that third day, Jesus got up and death couldn't do anything about it. Jesus rose from the dead. And so the just one has declared you just if you're saved today. Isn't that something to celebrate during Christmas time and the other 364 days a year? That's something to celebrate. What a blessing that is. Job asked the question in Job 9:2. He says, how should a man be just with God? We have the answer in the New Testament. We're justified, the Bible says. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to emphasize that for a couple minutes this morning and talk about this. I told you I wouldn't spend much more time in Romans chapter 5, but in Romans chapter 4, if you go back, well, it's one page in my Bible, but go back to, say, maybe around, there's an example of Abraham. We can read about him, maybe verse 8, I guess. That would be David in verse 8. So maybe Abraham, verse number 3, verse number 4. Here's two fellows that are pretty popular, that we're pretty familiar with when it comes to Israel in the Old Testament. Abraham, who, of course, his grandson's name got changed to Israel, right? So Abram was the Hebrew in the book of Genesis, and that's from which God's people sprung. He chose out a certain group of the sons of Adam, and that's Israel. And so we know about Abraham, and we know he had many sons and all that jazz. And then we got David later on, not only of the chosen of the sons of Adam, but the chosen of the sons of Jacob, of Israel. It's of the house of David that we get his Christmas present that we unwrap this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God narrows that down as we go through time in the Scripture, and we see what God has in mind for all of us in His family. What a blessing that is. Well, how does this apply to them? How does this apply to Abraham? We see the example of Abraham who believed God. I won't take time to read all the verses right there in Romans chapter 4, but he believed God in the face of impossible human circumstances. It's not possible for a guy north of 90 to have a baby, right? That's humanly not how that thing works, okay? Not without some intervention. And this intervention was not in a lab. This was from heaven above, okay? In the Old Testament, God allowed a man whose body was dead to being able to reproduce. He allowed him supernaturally to reproduce, and the son Isaac was brought forth. So Abraham believed God when circumstances were humanly impossible. And then he got the example of David, who learned that even during the most terrible mistakes you can make in life, that he could still go forward in his life because God, verse number 8 says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, those examples are there for you because you'll face times in life where you have a hard time believing God because of circumstances. And then there's going to be times in life where you'll have a hard time going forward and believing God because of your own mistakes and your own failures and your own sin. You have Abraham and you have David, two heavyweights, two big hitters from the Old Testament times, let's say it that way, that they learned about being just before God. If they can learn about it, we can learn about it as well. We can grasp this truth and unwrap this present to ourselves today and see what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand that when God the Father took your sins and placed them on the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, He justly condemned the one who was made wicked, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He poured out His sin and that cup of wrath upon our sin, upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He that knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. See, when you believe the gospel, you took Christ's righteousness. He took it and put it on you. It enabled Him to justify the ones who were made the very righteousness of God in Christ. So then the resurrection of Christ didn't prove that this was also done in perfect agreement with the Spirit of holiness. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what we just read a moment ago in Romans chapter 4. For Christ's sacrifice surely satisfied the just demands of God's righteousness. Now, I know I use some different words. I know I talk fast when I preach, but I just want you to understand God did it all right. He did it all holy. He did it all just. He didn't take you and say, you can be a better you, and then you'll be accepted of me. No, He took the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived in our place, who died in our place, who rose from the dead so that we'll rise from the dead too. Amen? And He made us just on the basis of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have a couple more moments here for this message, so I'm going to go through this. Let me try to keep up. I'll slow down just a little bit, okay? Pause for emphasis right there, okay? Let me go through a couple things here. Justification is an act, not a process. You got to be careful about religion teaching you things are a process. Because religion will teach you that salvation is a process. And it's not a religious process. It's the work of Christ, and it's you believing and agreeing with what God says. Justification is an act, not a process. No one believer is justified in God's sight than any other. Now, that's something to think about right there. Go ahead and sink your teeth into that, because sometimes we think, oh, that person's got favor with God. Whenever they walk around, there's like this beam from heaven that shines upon them as they go about their day. And, well, I want to get to them and have them say a prayer for me and put a blessing upon me. I will not leave till Thou bless me. And that's not true. That's religious talk. That's not true. Not, no one believer is justified more than another believer. How about that? You ever heard the statement made that the ground is level at the foot of the cross? The Lord Jesus Christ is the justifier when it comes to you, when it comes to me. What a blessing that is. Justification has to do with standing, not state. So that means it's your position, not your condition. Now, we're worried about our condition. Yeah, we need to make sure we're in the right condition before God. But we're talking about what God has done, our position, our standing. If you grasp that, that's going to help you with your state and your condition. You understand that? See, upon believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, a believer is instantly given a righteous standing before God. Now, unwrap that present to yourself today, okay, from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to help you. Justification is an act. It's not a process. Justification is unchanging. Once God declares that we are righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ, the sin question is settled once and for all. Now, this is good because human interaction tells us, well, I did something to please that person. They're happy with me. Oh, I did something that fell that person. Now they're sad with me. And so we take that understanding of life experience and we apply it to God. But remember, God's not the man upstairs. He's not up there, human emotions going up and down and all around. God's in a bad mood today. I better stay over here. Now, man's like that. God's not like that. We're talking about the Almighty, High, Holy, Just One, the Creator of all things. Justification is unchanging. God declares that we are righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that settles the sin question. Justification is not the same as regeneration. Regeneration gives a new life. Justification gives a new standing before God. Now, it's all good, but we're talking about justification today, so I'm trying to emphasize that. Justification is not the same as forgiveness. If I am forgiven, I'm still guilty. Being justified means I'm declared not guilty. God's up there just, you know, grinding his teeth together, mad about what you've done. He just won't let go of it. That's how we think, but that's not true. We're the ones that have a hard time letting go of stuff. It's not God. Hold on, I'm trying to give, instead of a religious mindset or a human mindset today, I'm trying to put forth for Christmas today the scriptural mindset about things. I promise you, it'll help you. Justification is not the same as being pardoned. A pardoned criminal is still a criminal. He just knew the right person in the right spot. See, justification removes the guilt. It's probably been a few months ago, but I went back through the whole armor of God again in Ephesians chapter 6. Every believer is told to put on the whole armor of God, right? You know, where you start is you have to have the loins of your mind girded with truth. If you don't grasp, if truth is not grasping your mind, if your mind is not grasping the truth, then you'll fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through. And so you'll be unstable. You'll be like a wave of the sea, tossed to and fro, up and down. I went fishing with Brother Perkins here, we're talking about 7 years ago probably now, I don't know. And I didn't get all the way seasick. I don't know if that was his plan. But I got really close to being seasick. And I can't blame it on him because I went through the Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru before I got on the boat, didn't I? So that's the problem. But my point is, you know what it was? Is that it was that motion sickness. And sometimes we get that in life. The highs and the lows, the ups and the downs, the wind and the waves. See, God's steady. God is based upon truth. God who cannot lie, all right? That's what the Bible tells us. It's impossible for him to lie, it says in the book of Hebrews. So you see, he has this basis. We're the ones that are up and down and all around. We need to see things like God sees it. We need to think about things like the Scripture puts forth. See, there's this battle raging in our mind, and the mind is the battlefield where spiritual warfare takes place. That's why We have to put on the whole armor of God. That's why when we put on the armor of God, it starts with our minds grasping and being held by the truth. We're to gird up the loins of our mind with the truth. When it comes to the truth this morning, I'm telling you to understand you're justified. You've been declared just. God doesn't take things back. You understand? If you never make mistakes, you don't have to take anything back. I'm just going to sit here while you think about that, okay? Seriously. If you never make any mistakes, if you never make any bad judgment calls, you don't have to take things back. When God declares you just, He doesn't change His mind the next day and say, "Whoop, I messed up by forgiving that person. I messed up by saving that person. I messed up by placing that person in the body of Christ. That was a mistake." No. No, when He looks at you, He sees His Son. Do we have anything that records the voice of the Father from heaven when the Son was here on earth? I think several times He says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Do you understand when He looks at you now, your standing, your position, He sees a Son in whom He's well pleased? A Son that never offended at any points of the law? He sees someone that He wants them to spend eternity with Him? Hebrews 2 is a passage I like to go to this time of year because it talks about the incarnation. It talks about how the Lord Jesus Christ was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. And now He's crowned with glory and honor. Jesus Christ had to become, He had to partake of Abraham's, basically his family, his earthly lineage, so that He could die. Face death, conquer death, and rise from the dead so that He could justify all of us. That's what the Bible tells us. But in Hebrews 2, it says, in bringing many sons to glory. In bringing many sons to glory. God, if you just want to step back in glory at the great Christmas present that we have for all eternity, God is calling out a great big family for Himself. But you only get in that family if you come God's way. You can't justify yourself. You can't check all those boxes. You can't sign all that paperwork. You can't live that life. You can't perform to that standard. All have come short, the Bible says. You have to look to the One that did it for you. That's why I love the term, the finished work of Christ. Religion says, Christ did a work, but you have to chip in now and do your thing. The Bible gives us the understanding the work is finished. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. What a blessing to gird up the loins of your mind with the truth. What's true on a good day is true on a bad day. See, when your mind is girt with the truth of justification, you realize that you're at peace with God. So the battle that you deal with, whether it's your circumstances, whether it's with yourself, that battle in your mind's not with God. You know what it is with, though? For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but it's not even with each other. But with what? Principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. So you realize there's a battle going on, but it's not, you're not wrestling with God. And you're not even wrestling with each other. It's the devil. It's his kingdom of darkness. It's what intervenes on a daily basis, not only in the United States of America, but on planet Earth. Yeah. He's the God of this world, isn't He? Yeah. Doesn't the Bible say that in 2 Corinthians 4? If we put that in context, we're not talking about right now in this age of grace, that the devil is the little g God of this world. So he's intervening. He's got his hoof prints all over everything today. He's everywhere. Santa Claus isn't everywhere. The devil's everywhere. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent like God, but his work, his policy of evil is everywhere you look today. It's behind everything. I'm being serious when I say that. So you're not battling. You're not striving against God like today I'm going to please God. Yesterday I failed. Yesterday I fell short. He's not smiling at me. He's frowning at me. But today I'm going to find God's favor. I'm going to have a light beam. You know, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam. Something's going to be bright and sweet and new and all these wonderful things. No, you're not battling with God. The devil wants to make you think you're battling with God. Who did Job think he was battling with in the book of Job? He thought he was battling with God. The devil was the one afflicting Job. Job is a snapshot of all of humanity, of all of mankind. God gives us that. See, most of us think we're like Job and think that God is warring against us every day. Oh, that happened? That happened? What did I do? I didn't even know I stepped out of line. Here you are punishing me, Lord. Here you are chastising me. When you're warring with the principalities and the powers and the spiritual wickedness in high places. See, Romans chapter 8, if we were to go forward a few pages, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Romans chapter 8 and verse number 35 says that. Who shall separate us from this love of Christ? From the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Those are things you experience in life. Those are words that encompass a lot of earthly circumstances. Verse 37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now remember, chapter 5 comes before chapter 8, so the basis of justification is in view as we read these verses. It says, for I am persuaded in verse 38 that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you understand how God sees it? Do you understand how the Scripture says it right there? Now, we need to grasp that in our minds. We need to believe that. We need to side with God. We need to apply it to every day. That we're justified. No, we haven't displeased God. No, we haven't disappointed God. No, we haven't dissatisfied God. It's not like God is saying, I'm not going to accept you. None of that is true. Satan wants us to doubt our standing before God. Satan wants us to question his character, because when we're trying to walk in faith and walk in obedience to what we believe is right, then if something bad happens in our life, we want to question the character of God. We want to say, I was doing right and you didn't do right by me. Maybe you're not the holy, just God that I thought you were. Do you see how that works? Do you see how we fall for that? Yeah. This is different for a Sunday morning sermon, I know that, but Satan wants us to doubt our standing before God. He wants us to doubt his character, question things. He wants us to be displeased with God and dissatisfied and disappointed. Like, God, I really thought this was going to turn out different than this. You really let me down. That's not true. It's not true. Let me see if I can give a story that hopefully sums up this wonderful Christmas gift of justification this morning. This is many years ago, but there was a man in England. He apparently was a man of means. He put his Rolls Royce on a boat and went across the continent to go on a holiday. That's the English word for vacation, right? And while this man was driving around Europe, something happened to the engine of his car. So, it's long enough ago, he cabled the Rolls-Royce dealership back in England. And he says, I'm having mechanical trouble with my car. What do you suggest I do? And he gave his location and everything. Well, the Rolls-Royce people flew a mechanic over. The mechanic repaired the car and flew back to England and left the man to continue his holiday. Well, as you can imagine, the fellow was happy, but he was in the back of his mind thinking, boy, how much was that going to cost me? So when he got back to England, he wrote the people a letter. And he asked them, he says, how much do I owe you? Well, he received a return letter from the office that read, Dear Sir, there is no record anywhere in our files that anything ever went wrong with a Rolls Royce. Do you think that's a good example of justification this morning? You can go about your day wondering, how much is this going to cost me? What's God going to do to me? I know I blew it. I know I messed up. I know I'm not worthy of his forgiveness and his salvation. I know he says I'm just in his word, but I don't feel very just sometimes. And you go about with that gnawing thing all the time, and your conscience chirping and your heart condemning you, when God's saying, hey, you're a Rolls Royce, and I checked the record. There's no record of anything ever going wrong with a Rolls Royce before. Isn't that good that you're a Rolls Royce? I bet you've been called worse, right? What were those cars in the old days? The Edsels or something like that? Not as much as a Rolls Royce, I'll tell you that. You understand what God says in His Word? Here's the question this morning. Do you believe God? Are you going to side with God even if it's against yourself? If you're here today and you've never received this Christmas gift that I've been trying to unwrap a little bit this morning, I think I just barely got the bow untied one loop. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Can I tell you, you have no standing before God. If you're standing in your sin, you have no standing before God. Your sin will not allow you to be with God. You will not be in that family in which God is bringing many sons to glory. See, on the other side of this life, there's a life that never ends. On the other side of this dwelling, there's this heavenly kingdom that you're to inherit as joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have that. You have position. You have this standing that will never be revoked or taken back, never given away to somebody else. You have this in Jesus Christ. But if you've not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, all you have is your works, and your works condemn you today. God said, "Thou shalt not," and you did it anyway. And all sin has to be dealt with. And your sin was either dealt with on the cross, you've accepted what Christ did for you, or you'll be judged for your own sin one day. And that'll include you being separated from a holy God who cannot allow your sin to eternally abide with Him. So the message is simple. You need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ today. Whatever it is that's kept you from believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and His work, His life, His death, His shed blood, His broken body and His shed blood, His burial, His resurrection, the third day. Whatever it is, if it's a religious thought, if it's a worldly thought, if it's a personal thought, whatever it is, you've got to turn from that today. Repentance toward God means faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says. Don't let anything keep you from believing on Jesus today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And boy, you get to start unwrapping that present. A present that'll be with you for the rest of your existence. How long is that? Well, as long as God exists, you'll exist. Amen. Sounds pretty good. Justified. Justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We're not at war with God. He's not at war with us. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Thanks for listening to me this morning. We'll have a prayer here in just a moment and turn things back over to Pastor Carter. I don't know, maybe you could think about past Christmases and a gift you got that was particularly special to you, and maybe it's a gift you continued to use for years and years on end, and as time went on, you actually appreciated that gift more and more as it became something you depended on or employed quite often. Maybe there's something you could think about that would relate there, but can I tell you that there's nothing like the gift of salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ gives you, because that not only lasts this life, it lasts through the next life, and that's eternal life, everlasting life. What a blessing it is to have that. With heads bowed and eyes are closed, can I ask you the question this morning? How many of you have received that gift? You've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you raise your hand just for a testimony this morning? Thank you. That's a lot of hands. You can put them back down. Praise the Lord that we can say we have this greatest gift. We've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's will that all men should come to repentance. It's up to men whether they do or not. Is there anybody here this morning say, "Well, preacher, I'd like to ask prayer right now because I'm not sure that I'm saved. And I understand from the scripture this morning how important it is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ for myself." Anybody like that this morning, would you raise your hand? Please pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Thank you, buddy. Anybody else? Please pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. God knows your heart, but I have to ask for your hand so I can pray for you this morning. All God wants you to do is accept what He's given us. Respond in faith to what Jesus Christ accomplished for each and every one of us. Let's have prayer together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can come to Your Word this morning. Thank You that we can look at our gift of salvation and we can see this wonderful truth of justification and how you've declared us just and what that means. I thank you for that today. Father, I know if my salvation depended on me, then I wouldn't have it, wouldn't be able to get it, wouldn't be able to keep it if I did get it. But because it's all hinged upon Christ and His finished work, I thank you for the grace today that we can preach, that we can glory in. Thank you for our forgiveness, our reconciliation, and our justification in Christ Jesus today. Father, for this invitation time as we conclude our service this morning, I trust you with the results. I pray that your word would convict those that need Jesus for their Savior today, they'd respond in faith. And then for those that have received the Lord Jesus Christ, that they'd realize more of what they have received when they accepted Christ, how that they're justified, and how scriptural thinking will help them each and every day. So, Father, I pray for that. Now, Father, for your blessing to be added to the invitation time now as we give it to you and commit it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together if you would, and I'll turn things over to Pastor Carter for the invitation.
Will you come this morning? Will you be justified, or will you go on trying it your way? Would you come, leave that seat, come forward to receive Christ today? Unwrap this gift the preacher was talking about. It's the greatest gift you could ever receive. Will you come as we sing?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed.
How about you right now? How about you?
And that thou
did you raise your hand that you know that's what you ought to do?
To thee, O Lord,
do you realize you can't do it for yourself? You can't pay the price. Jesus paid the price for you.
I come just as I am. And
any gift you receive at Christmas time, if it's a gift, somebody else paid for it. But the gift of eternal life, God paid for in giving His Son to pay the price you couldn't pay. As we sing another verse, will you come?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God,
Christmas time is a good time to make the analogy of the greatest gift ever given. God giving His Son that we might be justified, stand before Him as though we never sinned. Every evil thought, every dirty word, every act we wish we could take back, paid for. Wow, a new start, more than a new start, a guaranteed finish. Finished clean. Finished justified. Preacher pointed out this morning, there's a difference in being pardoned, even a difference in being forgiven, and being justified as though you never did the act to start with. Never committed to sin at all. That's a wonderful truth that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever gift you receive at Christmas, you can't receive what you could receive right this minute, eternal life, if you'd come and accept the Lord Jesus. Agree with God. God paid the price. Let Him Let him give you the gift of eternal life. I give you a little personal testimony. Christmas was a big thing with our family, even though we were raised poor. Parents saw to it we had a big Christmas as they could possibly give us. And I enjoyed them, but I didn't understand them. I grew up probably reading every little book I could find in this little old library in this little small town, small then. But I didn't really understand the meaning of Christmas. Isn't that amazing? Didn't understand it. You don't understand it if you've never received Christ as your Savior. You think you do, but you don't. Preacher went a little bit deep on justification this morning. Something you can't think up, wish up, earn. You'd only receive it from the one that paid for it, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you received him? Have you received him? I'm going to ask Brother Burke to lead us in one more verse, and this is your opportunity to come forward and say, I'll accept Christ. I'll receive the gift of eternal life. I'll leave this place justified as though I'd never sinned one time. Would you do it right now as we sing one last verse? Would you come? Meet me right here.
Just as I am.
How about it? Right now.
Wretched.
Make it the best Christmas ever.
Sight rich.
What about it?
Is healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to.
Would you come? Would you come? Not sure what's going over here. Somebody's being prayed with, but don't have any information on it. Let me encourage you to be back with us tonight. Yes, I know the time of the year it is, but it's not the time of year to short the Lord on the day we're trying to celebrate his birthday. It's time to be more faithful than ever. And I'm asking our church membership and everybody to do that, as well as the extra giving that we'll give everybody, and that's okay. But don't forget to give to him too. And one of the best ways we can do it is our mission gauge, sending the gospel, his gospel, around the world. Early years of this church, there's some few folks here that remember. I come to town, I was labeled a crazy preacher. Now I think they got other names for me. But anyway, I remember first Christmas saying something that was kind of different, something that was a little bit criticized. I said, let's all promise to not spend on anybody else more than we give to the one whose birthday we're celebrating. You say, you think anybody actually believed and acted on that? I don't know, but probably some did. You think about it. That's kind of mean. Husband, if you're fixing to buy that wife a new car, you got that much to give to Jesus or a little bit more. It's his birthday. See, that got bad vibes right there. I knew that was going to happen. But I just want you to know I'm still about crazy as I was when I was young. All right. God bless you. We will be dismissed in prayer and invite you to come back tonight. Brother Parsons, dismiss us, please.
Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the justification that we have in you, God. I thank you for the Christmas season where we can, again, just look towards your Son for salvation and think of all the things that he's done for us, God. I thank you for those that prayed this morning. I pray that they receive Christ as their Savior. I pray that you'd help them to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I pray, God, today you give us all safety as we travel home. In Jesus' name, amen.